Life Audio.
Just ahead on the Encouragement for You podcast, two segments on the conflict in the Middle East, featuring pastor and author Dr. Irvin Lutzer and Sat7 President Dr. Rex Rogers.
Welcome to the Encouragement for You podcast, brought to you by Encouragement Communications in association with the Salem Web Network and is part of the Life Audio Faith Toolkit series. For more inspirational, faith-affirming podcasts, visit lifeaudio.com. In just a moment, your host, Don Hawkins, will introduce today's episode. First, a word from our sponsors.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Ever since the terrorist group Hamas launched a devastating attack on southern Israel last October, the Middle East has been a major focus of attention. In our first segment, Dr. Irvin Lutzer shares prophetic perspectives from his book, The King is Coming.
You know, back in early October, the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia and the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu both appeared on the Fox television network and talked about how close they were to a peace agreement. Then October 7th happened, and Hamas unleashed a vicious and unprecedented attack on civilians in Israel, killing and raping and taking hostages. Before long, the Israeli Defense Force launched a counterattack with the stated aim of totally wiping Hamas out. Now, given these events, plus Vladimir Putin's war against Ukraine and what's happening with the Houthis in the Red Sea and other things, do you think these indicate the Lord's return could be near?
You know, Don, I'm going to be cautious about that because you and I know the many people who made predictions that have not come to pass. I remember 20 years ago or so during the Gulf War, how yes. People were talking about whether or not this was prophecy. Well, it didn't exactly turn out to be that way.
Yes.
Now, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24 that there shall be wars and rumors of wars. But I do have to say that that has been true throughout history. And when you look at the Bible, you realize, of course, that like there are many people who are talking about, you know, Russians' invasion of Israel. That all could develop. We're not there. And, of course, we have the war in the Middle East, as you mentioned. I say in my book that when it comes to prophecy, it is always best to say much too little than a little too much.
Yes.
But this is what I want to emphasize. Whether the Lord comes in our lifetime or not, the Bible makes it very clear that we should live in such a way that we anticipate his coming. And not only that, it really doesn't matter ultimately whether or not we live to see the Lord's return, because our lives are going to be evaluated for the way in which we lived based on the input that we have and the opportunities that we have. And that evaluation is going to take place whether the Lord returns in our lifetime or whether he doesn't. So we look forward to it. We anticipate as we think about the events of the two wars that we're involved in, but at the same time, we really cannot be sure.
The term that's often used is imminent, and some people may think that's a 25-cent word, but give us a perspective on that, if you will.
Well, imminent basically means at any moment. It means that, when the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4, and that's the huge chapter, I hope that everyone's listening will remember that passage of Scripture, and it says that the Lord will descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then it talks about those who are alive being caught up. And the Latin word is raptura, from which we get the word rapture. You know, one of the things that sometimes I smile about is this. People say, well, do you believe in the rapture? Well, everybody who studies the Bible should believe in the rapture,
right?
Because there it is in Scripture, the catching up.
Yes.
The big debate, Don, as you well know, is whether or not the Lord's coming is in two stages or one. So everybody believes in the rapture, but many people believe that it's going to happen at the same time of the glorious appearing of Jesus Christ. And so that's what the debate is about, but everyone should believe in the rapture, even if we quibble about when it's going to take place.
In other words, what we're saying is Jesus Christ is coming back. Erwin, when you wrote your book, The King is Coming, you were careful to avoid the trap that you've suggested and the trap that I remember somebody back in the late 80s falling into, of setting a date and saying the timing of the Lord's return is exactly here. But Scripture does give us some signs of the time, sort of like the analogy that Jesus used about the weather in Matthew 24, right?
Yes, and certainly one of those signs to many of us, it seems as if the regathering of Israel, the constituting of the nation, is one of those signs, because the Bible does talk about the fact that in the latter day, Israel is going to be regathered. So that certainly is one of the signs. The other thing that I think is so important is the globalism. You know, the fact that we're living at a time when you look at Revelation 13, for example, people have always wondered, how can that be fulfilled? That there could be an Antichrist who rules, and that everyone submits to the Antichrist or else is killed with a sword. And we always wondered how he would control things. We knew that he would have control over the economy. You couldn't buy or sell unless you had the mark of the beast, and there were various theories regarding that. Well, once again, we have to be cautious, but there's when you look at technology today and you see the tremendous control that is happening, you can see how clearly this can be fulfilled. For example, you can go online and you can read about the digital dollar.
Yes.
The idea is that eventually we will not have cash. We will just deal with electronics, which is, of course, basically true already because we only use credit cards. If you go to a hotel in Europe and you give them cash, you'll probably be rejected. All that they take is credit cards. But the point is this, that the digital dollar then can be controlled. In other words, you might not be able to give to Christian ministry.
Yes.
It is not the freedom that we have today to give. So when you see globalism, when you see the nation of Israel, when you see indeed wars and rumors of wars, and you think of evil, of course, evil has always existed. As you know, I've studied Nazi Germany.
Right.
But at the same time, we see it today on a global level. So for these reasons, certainly things seem to be shaping up for some kind of a cataclysmic end.
We'll be back with more after a brief word from our sponsors. And don't forget to listen for Dawn's live weekend talk show, Encouragement Live, heard Saturdays at 7:05 p.m. Central Time on American Family Radio and other radio stations around the country, as well as on the worshipchannel.org. Dr. Rex Rogers is the president of a ministry focused on sharing the good news of Christ through internet and satellite television throughout the Middle East and North Africa. In our next segment, he and host Don Hawkins explore the ongoing conflict taking place throughout the Middle East.
Now, Hamas attacked Israel back on October 7th. In the meantime, things are happening. Many people are fleeing that area. Many people have died. Lebanon has rampant inflation, no president. Hezbollah is active there and continues to fight with Israel. Iran has increased oppression since the Mahsa Amina protest, and they support terrorism. Turkey and Syria are trying to recover from an earthquake and from inflation. And there are all kinds of things happening in other places. Afghanistan has over 2 years of the Taliban. And then the pro-Palestine, anti-Israel demonstrations and people actually shouting from the river to the sea, which, as I understand it, means they're calling for the eradication of the Israelis and the Israel state. Rex, it's really a messy situation.
It really is, and you've just cited all the reasons that the Middle East is in the news virtually every week, even before October 7. In the providence of God, that's the case, because he's at work there, and he's at work even in the midst of this terrible situation. That's what's hard from sometimes, even for us as believers, to remember that, keep our arms around that, and our mind focused on that. But it's been amazing to me, I'll just make this little comment and get out, how many times moral or morality has been referred to in articles that I'm reading? This isn't a highly secularized, increasingly secular culture in which we live, where supposedly we don't care about morality. And all of a sudden we're talking about moral imperatives and moral bankruptcy and moral clarity and collapse and cowardice and hypocrisy. Morality across the board. God uses these things to refocus our attention.
Yeah, no question about it. And Rex, we know that Scripture says the Lord will not leave himself without a witness. In light of all the chaos that's happening right now, not only in the Holy Land, but in other parts of the world, how do you see this as evident today in the Middle East and in the Holy Land?
Well, we're getting feedback, we know, of believers. First of all, our listeners should realize that there are Christian believers on the ground in all of the regions of the Holy Land. That means Israel, West Bank, Gaza Strip, any of the other parts that you may want to refer to that are in dispute. And they're ministering there. They're afraid. Some of them are suffering pain and persecution or otherwise facing difficult situations. We'll refer to some testimonies later about that. But they are also active in ministry and trying to reach out and show their light in and through the darkness. And so, of course, we need to pray for God's remnant. He always has his remnant there.
Good to know that. Now, we've heard a lot of concern for Israel, and certainly rightfully so in light of those terrible Hamas attacks of October the 7th. But in what ways is it right or moral for Christians to be concerned about Palestinians or Gazans in the wake of this terrible evil?
Well, you know, I've read a few articles, and some of them sadly written by Christians that seem to, they're pro-Israel, okay, that's all right, but then they seem to think that the Palestinians are less than legitimate people, and they make derogatory remarks, so they say, well, why don't they just move or just get out of there? You know, where would they go? First of all, they don't have passports, they don't have contacts, but the biggest thing I think we need to remember is, I mean, God cares about every human life, and he created them. He loves them. He created them all in his image, including Palestinians, Gazans, if you want to.
Yes.
And he loves them. And the other part is of that 2.4 million, roughly, people that live in the Gaza Strip, 47% of them are under the age of 17.
Hmm.
They're children. They weren't even born when Hamas took over in 2006.
Wow.
And many of them, of course, are dying in the process of the battles that are taking place. So we need to pray for the protection of life, for a resolution of this conflict, for evil to be brought to justice, held accountable, but also to care about human beings on the ground and the humanitarian situation that's there.
Rex, I believe the number of Christians in the Holy Land is estimated at less than 2% of the population. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, it is. It's declined, especially in an area like the Gaza Strip since 2006 when Hamas took over. Many fled because they were being persecuted or otherwise suppressed. They wanted better access to education and medical care. Some were able to get out to the West Bank. Some left and came all the way to the United States or some other country in Europe. But there are still people there who, as I said before, who are committed to ministry. There's three churches that we know of in the Gaza Strip. One is a Greek Orthodox church, one is a Catholic church, and then the one I know the most about is Gaza Baptist Church, an evangelical church that is still, all of them are active, trying to shelter people, protect people, help them in any way they can, and obviously to pray, again, for all those people that they might be a light in the darkness.
Yeah, the question would be, how in the world do they survive and operate given what's happening there right now?
Well, it's extremely difficult and dangerous, and some have lost their lives. We know of one fellow who's a friend of Sat7's who, drove him around to make his appointments and what have you, as a minister. That fellow was martyred right on the steps of the church.
Hmm.
And his wife has gone on now. She's moved. This is a little while ago. She's moved to the West Bank. She now has a ministry with about 18 other widows, Palestinian widows, that she's helping to, you know, reestablish their lives and to come to Christ and to understand God's sovereignty in their life, even though they've lost their husband. And father, but it's very difficult.
And it's amazing to think about all of the chaos that's happening there and yet to acknowledge the sovereignty of God. I am just continuing to be amazed. There were chaotic times earlier in biblical history as well, and yet God is able to work. Talk about some of the types of ministry that Christians can accomplish in the middle of a war.
Well, I mentioned these churches, I don't think I've mentioned that there are Ukrainians who have fled what's going on there in Ukraine.
Hmm.
Interestingly, Ukrainian Christian Jewish people who left Ukraine and went to Israel for basically protection and safety. They live along the Gaza border, and now they're in the middle of all this. So what they're doing is, and they speak Russian, but what they are doing is helping Israelis in the aftermath of the massacre, the attack, and trying to help them, again, get started with their lives, find safety, find living loved ones, make connections. They've got an active ministry that they're involved in the middle of this. This is their contribution, if you will, to doing what's right. They're not carrying a gun, but they're certainly serving God by serving others.
What sort of questions are people asking to ministries like Sat7 at this time? They're going through trauma, danger, death, and ministries like Sat7 are able to speak healing and hope and encouragement into their lives. What are the questions you're hearing?
Well, whenever there are serious challenges to life and well-being, and that's true for us here too, people ask what we call existential questions. That's the deep questions of life. And what they mean by that is, you know, is God there? Does Jesus care? Is he real? What happened to my friend who died? What happened to, will happen to me? And for the first time, maybe in their lives, they're open to considering spiritual questions, spiritual answers from the Word of God and from Christianity. They're looking at that. I was interacting with one of our Sat7 Arabic leaders the other day, and he said the youth that they're getting online, social media, they're asking these deep questions. And, you know, they come from other religious backgrounds. They don't come from Christian backgrounds. And they're asking about what God is, who God is, and is he there in the midst, and what's going to happen, and why would he allow all this? You know, why would God allow people to die? Is God the source of evil? I mean, these are great questions to set up interaction of what the Word of God has to say.
I love the quote from, I believe it's Rami Al-Halassi, your executive director for the Sat7 Arabic channels and digital media. Talk about what he has said, the quote that you've provided there.
Well, Rami is Jordanian and a very articulate man and one with great Christian wisdom. But he says, look, our priority, and I'm quoting him now, our priority is to promote peace and justice for all people. And we're here, meaning Sat7, we're here to support people of all races and backgrounds to make God's love visible to them. And we're committed to our promise to our viewers to be there for them, especially in times of crisis, to receive their prayer requests, to pray for them. And that's the power of media, the ability to reach into people's homes, into their most darkest hours at all times of the day and night, and to be able to provide encouragement and education and connection and information, too, to encourage them to say that God's not forgotten them, the church, the body of Christ has not forgotten them, and that we're praying for them.
Rex, I can't help thinking what a motivation this should be to pray for these believers in the Holy Land and those who are in that whole part of the Middle East, that God will protect them, that God will allow them to have a testimony. And I think of those who've already lost loved ones. We need to pray that God will give them grace as they grieve, because grief in the middle of what's going on over there now would have to be a very difficult thing.
Oh, I think so. We don't need to rehearse what took place on October 7th, but I know that politicians in their Knesset, in their parliament, watched video, and then soldiers who have been in combat watched video, and these men, I mean, they vomited, they cried. It was so egregious, so barbaric, so difficult to even think about. Now, when you put that on a personal level and say, well, that was my family that was killed in Gaza, it's extremely difficult. So there's no easy way to look at this, and there's no neat and clean way and say, well, you know, here it is. We can fix it in a day or two. Even if Israel gets Hamas, the worst of the worst people, and they capture and eradicate them all, the hatred of the Jewish people is not going to go away.
I mentioned one other thing, Rex, I want to be sure and get in. I mentioned Romans 13, and where it talks about the government bearing not the sword in vain. It seems to me, as we look at the Israeli response to what's taking place, or what has taken place with the attack of Hamas and the need to deal with that, that passage of Scripture basically has something to say about that.
Well, it does, I think, because it talks about government. It's one of the key passages in Scripture about government, but it expresses the fact, as I mentioned earlier, that the purpose of government is a legitimate use of what might be called coercive force. And when I say legitimate use, I mean duly appointed police, military, as required, because it refers to them as agents of wrath to bring punishment to the wrongdoer, on the wrongdoer. So God recognized that we're sinful people, that our hearts are evil, that sin exists in a fallen world, and not everybody does what's right and is moral. So you have to have some kind of law and order structure to do that. And that includes, by the way, self-defense, whether it's individually in your home or for a nation state in its response. Now, if we have time, I can add this.
Sure.
Nation state isn't perfect. I love my country. I'm red, white, and blue. But I wouldn't say the United States has always done the right thing.
Right.
And I certainly wouldn't say its leaders have always done the right thing any more than I have.
No.
So it is okay, I think, and proper to critique the nation state of Israel. And do you agree with this? Do you agree with that? Without that being anti-Semitic or anti-Jewish or in some way not supportive of their right to defend themselves. No, I think you can think that through. Again, they're a modern nation state, and they're made up of people, and they make decisions that you may or may not agree with, just like in our country where we have our politics.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Encouragement for You with Don Hawkins, host of Encouragement Live Radio and author of over 25 books, including Never Give Up and Master Discipleship Today. You can find more about Don and his books at encouragementlive.org. Encouragement for You is a production of Encouragement Communications with the Salem Web Network and lifeaudio.com. editing by Phil Giebers, production by Elizabeth Andrade. If you enjoyed what you heard today, we'd love for you to head over to your favorite podcast app and leave us a review. It really does help people find us.
Let me take just a second to thank the team at Life Audio for their partnership with us on Encouragement for You. If you go to lifeaudio.com, you'll find dozens of other faith-centered podcasts in their network. They've got shows about prayer, Bible study, parenting, and more.
Stay encouraged and join us next time for Encouragement for You.
Want to learn more about God and His will for your life one verse at a time? I'm Quenice Petway, co-host of the Your Daily Bible Verse podcast. I'm inviting you to tune in and subscribe at lifeaudio.com.